Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Beth Shield, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, we're going to be talking about all things nervous system, how to actually regulate the nervous system, but also just kind of a little rundown to describe and teach what the nervous system is and how it functions, because it's so helpful to know these things. Learning to regulate my nervous system is one of the most important things that I've ever learned how to do. And I am just excited to share this so that it can hopefully help all of you. So I want to ask you something right off the bat. And actually, let's slow it down already, because whenever wherever you hit play, wherever you're at, it's always a good idea to just take a breath and just kind of be here. When is the last time you felt like truly, genuinely at ease in your own body? Not just busy enough to forget your stress and not as distracted enough to stop thinking, but actually settled, present, here. For a lot of us, that answer is really uncomfortable because the honest truth is we haven't felt that in years or maybe ever. So we're talking about your nervous system today, trying to keep it not clinical or textbook, but like really actually what it feels like and how it works. What it means to be regulated and what it looks like when you're not, and the real practical things you can do to come back to yourself. So let's get into it. Before we go anywhere, I just want to give a quick, simple foundation. Your nervous system is your body's command center. It's the communication network running between your brain and every organ, muscle, and cell in your body. It is constantly processing information from the outside world and from inside of you, and deciding how to respond. So there's two branches of the nervous system. The first one is your sympathetic nervous system. This is like the gas pedal. This activates when you sense threat or demand. So your heart rate goes up, your breath quickens, your muscles tense, and it's designed for short bursts of survival. So it's really a gift when you genuinely need it. The second is your parasympathetic nervous system. This is your brake pedal. So this is rest, digest, recover. When the heart rate slows down, breathing deepens. Your body feels safe enough to repair itself. This is where healing happens. And this is also where real presence lives. And the problem for most of us is that we're driving around with our foot on the gas all the time. And we don't even know it. When the nervous system detects threat, it doesn't just have one response, it has four. And you've probably heard of fight or flight. That's like the most common one that I feel like people are aware of. But I want to name all of them because I think something might click for you that you might not have known before. So fight, this is activation, aggression, anger, irritability, the urge to confront when you're snapping at the people you love over small things. Or maybe feeling a surge of rage that doesn't quite match the situation, like the big triggers. And this is fight energy. So in the context of self-abandonment, which, is like the purpose behind most all of my teaching, fight can also turn inward, becoming that inner critic that attacks yourself before anything else gets a chance. So then we have the flight response, the urge to escape. This is can look like overworking, overscheduling, staying really busy, running away from stillness. So if you can't sit still, if you're always on to the next thing, if rest feels threatening, you might be living in a chronic flight response. And flight is also how a lot of us abandon ourselves without realizing it, staying so busy that there's no time to ask what you actually want. Or what you actually feel, or even who you actually are. Then we have freeze, shutdown. This is like numbness, disassociation, feeling paralyzed or checked out. In freeze, self-abandonment looks like disconnection. I feel this one. Losing access to your own desires, your own voice, or your own sense of self. You're not sure what to think. You're not sure what to feel. You're not sure who you are outside of what everyone else needs from you. And then we have fawn. And this is one I want to spend a little more time on because I believe fawn is where self-abandonment is most deeply rooted. Fawn is the please response. It develops when a child grows up in an environment where love, safety, or belonging feels conditional, meaning being good, not making waves, not having needs. And so the nervous system learns the way I stay safe is by making you comfortable, even at the expense of myself. So fawn looks like saying yes when you mean no. It looks like shrinking yourself, making yourself small in rooms where you don't feel safe. It looks like over-explaining, over-apologizing, over-giving, and losing your own opinion the moment someone pushes back. It looks like abandoning your truth to keep the peace over and over. It's so automatic that you stop noticing that you're doing it. And here's what makes fawn so hard to see. It doesn't look like a trauma response. It looks like being a good person. It looks like being selfless, easygoing, easy to love. People get praised for this, which is exactly why so many people have no idea they're doing it and no idea what it's costing them. So if any of this is landing for you, I want you to go back and listen to the very first episode of this podcast. It's all about self-abandonment, what it is, where it comes from, and what it takes to stop doing it. And it is the foundation of everything I teach. So none of these responses are flaws when our nervous system comes online and it has one of these four responses. They're very intelligent. It's adaptive strategies that your nervous system uses and develops to protect you. So it's okay. We're always going to live in some of these, right? Or we can be aware of them now. So it's learning how to recognize them so you have a choice to move out of it. And then one last thing about the nervous system that I think is worth talking about is the vagus nerve. So this is the superhighway of your parasympathetic system. It runs from your brainstem all the way down to your gut, and it's the pathway where your body and your brain communicate safety to each other. Almost everything we talk about today works by activating the vagus nerve. And then the last concept I kind of want to introduce before we move forward is there's a framework called the window of tolerance. So you think of this as the zone where your nervous system can function well, where you can feel and think and relate and respond. So not too activated and not shut down, just present and capable. So when you're inside your window, you can handle life's demands without being overwhelmed by them. But when you're pushed outside of it, and this can be like too much or not enough, your ability to think clearly, connect with others, access your own internal wisdom goes offline. Trauma and chronic stress narrow that window. Healing widens it. And so every tool we're going to talk about today is in some way about expanding your window of tolerance so that more of life can move through you without you shutting down. So that's the foundation. Now let's talk about what it actually looks like when things are off. How do you know when you're dysregulated? And this is where I want us to slow down for a minute, because I think a lot of people listening right now are dysregulated and don't fully realize it. I know I didn't for years. We normalize so much. We call it stress. We call it being a busy adult. We call it just the way things are. But your body is always sending you signals, and they are worth paying attention to. I wish I had learned this work. And I guess I don't like to say wish, because that's like regret. I learned it at the perfect time for me. But there are so many times where I would go into flight or fight or fawn or even freeze, like my not really understanding that what my body was trying to do was protect me. And I just overrode that. I overrode it so many times. So I'm really hoping, like, by bringing this to all of you, that you can take something away from this that will actually help you to recognize the signals from your body and pay attention. So restlessness. If you can't sit still, you feel like you need to be doing something all the time. Even when you have a moment to rest, you actually don't drop into it. Your body's humming, fidgety. You're like spiraling, thinking about what you should be doing. That's an indicator that you're dysregulated. Anxiety without a clear cause. So it's kind of like that low level hum of dread or unease that's there. You may not even call it anxiety, but just something that feels kind of off or tense or like something bad is about to happen. Sleep problems. So trouble falling asleep, waking up in the middle of the night, your mind racing, never really feeling rested when you've slept. So your nervous system is supposed to downregulate during sleep. When it can't, your sleep suffers. Being really reactive and triggered. So snapping at people, not knowing how to manage the triggers that come up in you. Noticing that you may be judging yourself for like, why am I making such a big deal about this that it's so small? Where you can go like 0 to 60 emotionally in a way that even surprises yourself. So this reactivity is almost always a nervous system response, and it means your window of tolerance has narrowed. And so it's just something to notice. Another thing that causes so much dysregulation, chronic people-pleasing and overgiving. This one surprises people when I name it as a dysregulation signal, but it really is. When you cannot stop saying yes, when you feel compelled to like manage everyone else's emotions, when you feel physically anxious at the thought of disappointing someone, that's a fawn response running in the background. Your nervous system is in a low-grade state of threat, and appeasing others is how it's trying to stay safe. This is self-abandonment at the nervous system level. And most people have been doing it so long, hello me, for years, that they think that's just how they are, like it's your personality. Another sign of dysregulation is difficulty concentrating, feeling very scattered, unfocused, jumping between things, hypervigilance. Also, chronic tension in your body, tight jaw. I see a tight jaw constantly when I do somatic sessions with my clients. Clenched shoulders or shoulders that are raised. Maybe you get tension headaches, you have digestive issues, your chest that kind of always feels constricted. Your body truly holds what your mind won't acknowledge. And then there's emotional numbness or disconnection. This is a big one for me. Not feeling a lot, going through the motions, being in a room when you don't really feel like you're really there. And numbness isn't the absence of activation, it's a protective response to overwhelm. It's your nervous system saying, this is too much, I'm going offline. And then reaching for numbing behaviors. So if you need a drink to relax, or you can't wind down without an hour of scrolling, or you always need background noise because silence isn't bearable for you, those are signals worth looking at too. Are you enjoying this episode? I hope so. If you're finding this content helpful and want to learn how to implement these tools, teachings, and practices into your daily life with the support of a safe community, I really want to invite you to check out the Shift membership. This is a monthly membership subscription that includes a monthly hot seat coaching call with me personally, where you can connect with me live on Zoom and ask questions to get support. We also do one monthly live breathwork session for the community, so you can experience all this work together. If you're curious and want to learn more, be sure to check out the link in the description of this episode or by going to shiftwithbeth.com/membership. All right, let's get back to this episode. So let's just stop, take an honest inventory for a minute. How many of these sounded familiar for you? So, whatever comes up for you, I just want you to meet it with curiosity and not judgment. This is not a list of things that are wrong with you. This is just a list of things your nervous systems learn to do in order to survive. And that deserves compassion, not criticism. Recognizing dysregulation is the first step to doing something about it. So, for years, I was living in fight or flight and I had no idea. I thought I was fine. I was functioning. I was showing up. I was getting things done. From the outside, everything looked okay. But inside, I was operating from a nervous system that was constantly braced for impact. I was numb. I didn't know I was numb, but I was disconnected from my body in ways that I didn't even have language for yet. I wasn't feeling my feelings because it wasn't safe to feel all my feelings. And I thought so I just pushed them down, tried to manage them, suppress them, and think that that was me being strong, me not being too emotional or sensitive. But I grew up in an environment that required me to be on high alert. I learned early that it wasn't safe to be fully myself. And so my nervous system did what nervous systems do, it adapted. It kept me safe by keeping me small, by keeping me scanning, by keeping me in my head and out of my body. And it wasn't until I went through my somatic experiencing training that I really started to understand what had been happening in me all along. So I talk about somatic experiencing a lot, but if you're new here, this is a program developed by Dr. Peter Levine, and it's a body-based approach to healing trauma through the nervous system. So the idea is that trauma isn't what happened to you. It's what happened inside your body in response to what happened to you. And that unprocessed survival energy gets stuck. It lives in your tissues, your posture, your nervous system responses until you work with it. And so I thought the way I was living was just how life was, the constant underlying anxiety, the inability to truly rest, the way I could be in a room full of people and feel kind of alone and disconnected. I thought that was just me, but I didn't know I was dysregulated. So I want to tell you about the very first training I ever did for somatic experiencing, because I think it perfectly captures like what slowing down can actually feel like when you're not used to it. So it was the first day or two, we had to partner up with someone and we were told that we were going to follow, we were going to like partner A would start and partner B would follow partner A around. And partner A was just going to walk around and notice things, no talking. So my training was in San Diego at, it was like the marina by right by SeaWorld. It was a beautiful place, lots of boats and water. And it was a really beautiful place to have the training. But so you're following around this person for, I think it was 15 minutes each. And you repeat what they are doing. So like say my partner touches a tree leaf, right? And so then I touch it after her. And then she might go and sit in the grass. It's very slow. So like when they were describing this, I was seriously like, are you kidding me? Like, I do not want to do this. What are we doing here? You could skip. You could, whatever your partner did, you did it. And so I was like, okay. So I wasn't excited about this. And so I started and I kind of followed her around and it was very slow. And then it was my turn. And being like, we're never forced to do anything, but like, I've never done anything like this before. But as I kind of dropped into the experience and just allowed myself to sit on the grass and touch the grass and maybe like bring my face up to the sky and feel the sun just hitting my face. And then walking, you know, along this marina and looking at the boats and going over to trees and maybe I can't remember exactly what I did, but touching the trees and just taking this slow time. And then she would follow me. It was like, and do the same thing. I started to feel that connection in myself and my the connection to nature and how everything truly is alive. And I heard the birds and I noticed the planes in the sky and I just got to slow way down. And it actually, I started to feel my inner child come online. And if you're listening to this and you're like, this sounds crazy, this sounds weird, I hear you. It was really, really profound for me, but it was the very beginnings of me learning how to slow down, be present, observe and notice. And when you learn how to be in the present moment, that's where your nervous system really feels safe. And another thing was they told us we had a 90-minute lunch break every day. And I remember being like, what? Like, why? Let's eat in 20 minutes and get out early. And I got things to do, or I want to just be done with the training. And I didn't even realize that like my nervous system, the way that it was, that it was in that flight mode. It needed to be constantly achieving, like getting things done to feel like we were okay. But I leaned in and I stayed with it. And at first it was uncomfortable. And then by the time I'm in year three, I'm like, we only have an hour and a half. Like, I have learned how to slow down so much, listen to what my body needs, not push myself past my capacity. And when you do that, there's this quiet magic that really exists in everyday life. It's like a wonder. And my body over time just started to settle in ways that I really can't describe. And I realized, like, this is what I've been missing all along. And so when I talk about this training, being life-changing, it really was. Because I kept choosing to slow down over and over, my nervous system finally believed that it was safe to do so. And with that becomes more presence, more calm. And so I would just invite you into trying something like this. Maybe it's not following a partner around, or you could do it with a partner. Like, I've oftentimes thought of, like, what if I did this with my kids? They probably would not like it at all. Like, the thoughts of putting their phone down and going out in nature and just, like, observing. But it would be so good for them. So I just think about, like, what would that bring up for you if you tried that? If it's uncomfortable, it's something to maybe lean into and just get curious and see. And I want to be clear, like, you don't need to become a somatic experience practitioner to access this. You don't need a certificate or a training or years of work, but you do need the willingness to slow down if you really want to take care of your nervous system and the tools and how to do that. And so that's what the rest of this episode is about. So the present moment is all we have. I mean that in a much deeper way than it sounds, because so many of us are not actually living in the present, right? We're living in the pain of the past, the old wounds, the old stories, the old versions of ourselves that we can't seem to let go of. Or we're living in the worry of the future, the what ifs, the worst case scenarios, the constant hypervigilance and anticipating the worst. So when you're stuck in the past or you're bracing for the future, your nervous system doesn't know you're safe right now. It's responding to a threat that exists in your mind, not in this moment. So learning to come back to my body, to my breath, to the right now, this has been some of the most important work of my life. Okay, I have to tell you this story because it's good. It's a good one. About a year after I left my marriage, I was in Bali for the first time. And I was truly going through one of the hardest seasons of my life. Like, I think I was 6 months into a very high conflict, deeply stressful divorce, single mom, holding everything together, trying to. And I had done a ton of inner work. I had worked with coaches, I had done a ton of inner child work, done some healing retreats. I was working with my own somatic experience practitioner, just like one-on-one. And I've been doing a lot of breath work. So I felt like I had done a ton of work up to that point. And it's not like I was, in my mind, I felt like I was pretty healed, like, mostly healed, as if that's a thing, as if healing has a finish line. But I believed I was in a really good place at that time. So I'm in Bali feeling good. And I go to a palm reader, which I had never done before, because hello, Bali, like, you do things like this. And I go in and I sit down, and she takes my hand and she looks at my palm for what felt like a long time, but it was probably like 30 seconds. And she goes, and then she looks at me and she goes, "Oof, trauma." And I was like, "I know, lady, I know. But I'm like so much better than I was. I've done so much work. I've read the books, I've done the healing, I've cried the tears." And I told her all this. And she just kind of nodded and she told me that I had lots more work to do, that I needed to learn how to protect my energy better, and that I needed to meditate every single day. And I'll be honest, like, my ego took a bit of a hit. Like, here I am, I'm a coach, I'm doing all the work, I'm so dedicated. Like, I was still in that achiever state where it's like, I'm gonna do this healing and I'm gonna do it all the things and I'm gonna check those boxes, right? And then, so I'm feeling a little triggered, but of course that's mine, right? And then she tells me, my divorce was not going to be over for a long time and that I wasn't going to meet anyone for a long time. So I was like, geez, thanks. Thanks, palm reader. I mean, she was really sweet, but it felt really, really discouraging at the time. But it was also what I needed to hear because I was still living in survival mode at that time. I was still living in fight or flight. And she gave me a big gift because I didn't really do a lot of meditating before that. I did breath work, I journaled, I was working on myself, but I hadn't learned really how to quiet my mind fully in that way. And so this was a big pivot for me because after that, I started meditating. Like, I committed every single day, not perfectly, but consistently. And it was really through that daily meditation practice that I learned more of how to quiet my mind. And later, through my SE training, I finally started to develop a language for what was happening in my nervous system when I was meditating. So SE gave me more of a framework, but meditation gave me the stillness to actually feel it. And without that reading, I don't know that I would have taken it seriously or gotten into that. And meditation is such a beautiful practice. A lot of people think that they can't do it or shy away from it. There's really no right or wrong way to meditate. And maybe I'll do an episode on that down the road, different ways to meditate. So this changed a lot and it surprised me getting a regular meditation practice and what that did for my nervous system, because we need more time and ways to slow our brains down, right? To get out of our heads, to drop into our hearts, and to drop into our bodies. Before I get into the practical tools, I do want to say something that really matters. So slowing it down. I just want you to notice right now, like, what comes up for you as you listen to some of these stories. Maybe it's resistance or a pull to like skip forward or check your phone or skip through this part, or maybe this isn't the podcast for you and that's totally okay, but just noticing that. If you feel that restlessness, if you feel uncomfortable, that's your nervous system. That's the thing. Even the thinking of slowing down causes discomfort when your system isn't used to it. And so that's totally normal. It's actually a sign that this is exactly the right work for you. Slowing down can feel really uncomfortable at first, especially if you've been running on adrenaline for years. Stillness can feel like emptiness, quiet can feel like something's going wrong. Your body might actually resist regulation because activation has become your baseline. And that's familiar to you, even though it's so exhausting. So stay with me just a few more minutes. And something else, too, is like dysregulation is not a flaw. It's going to happen. We're always going to get dysregulated. It's recognizing when we are and why and being able to slow down and come back to yourself. Your nervous system is doing exactly what it learned to do. So every response, fight, flight, freeze, fawn, made sense at some point. It kept you safe. It got you through. And some of it probably served you really well for a really long time. And so again, the goal is not to be perfectly regulated. That's not a thing. We're still going to get activated. We're still going to get triggered, right? The difference is to just notice it and have compassion for it and then have the tools to come back. I want to talk to the person who's listening to this and thinking, this is great and this is interesting, but I don't really need it. I'm functioning. I'm not falling apart. I've got it together. Maybe this is for someone who's been through something really serious. And that was me for years. That was exactly me. And what I want to say to that person, what I wish I had, what someone had told me sooner is the fact that you're functioning is not the same as the fact that you're thriving. You can be managing your life beautifully and still be completely disconnected from yourself. You can be successful, productive, loved by people around you, and still have no real idea who you are underneath all of it, or what you actually feel, or what you actually want. Learning the language of your nervous system doesn't just help you feel less anxious, it changes everything. And I mean that specifically. It changes your relationships. When you understand your own nervous system, you stop reacting from it. You stop taking your activation out on the people you love. You stop abandoning yourself in relationships to keep the peace and then resenting people for the peace you kept. You stop attracting dynamic after dynamic that mirrors your unresolved patterns that are living in your nervous system, because now you can actually see the patterns. It changes how you communicate. You can feel when you're activated before you say the thing that you'll regret. You can take a breath and actually choose your response instead of just firing one off. You can stay in hard conversations without shutting down or blowing up because you've created a bigger window of tolerance. And it really changes how you parent. You can be present with your kids in a way that isn't possible when you're running on fight or flight. You can repair ruptures instead of pretending like they didn't happen. You can model regulation, right? And you can model dysregulation and how you get out of that. But most importantly, like, it really changes your relationship with yourself. You stop waking up exhausted, living in survival, being overwhelmed and burnout, and you can feel more like yourself again. So that's what's possible when you do the work to learn the language of your nervous system. And if you don't do the work, this is what it costs you: more discomfort, or disconnection. So I'm going to give some things that you can do to help you regulate your nervous system. And the first one is cutting off like immediate dopamine hits. So we have to get honest about our dopamine addiction, right? It sounds like harsh, but we live in a world that is specifically engineered to keep our nervous systems in a constant state of stimulation. Every buzz, every notification, every algorithm thing that pops up when we're scrolling is designed to give our brains that little hit of dopamine, and then we're hooked. But the thing about dopamine hits is they feel like relief, but they're actually, it's addictive. And then our brain just constantly needs that, right? And doesn't give our nervous system a chance to downregulate, to rest or settle. So the big ones, like doom scrolling, right? This one is sneaky. I'm not saying it's bad to scroll all the time, but think about it. Your brain is processing hundreds of images, emotions, like just so much. I know that for me, especially lately, I get so overwhelmed by scrolling. It's like it has not been healthy for me. So I've had to not be on social media as much because I feel worse. I feel like I got to do more. I'm not doing enough. It can cause a lot of stress to the nervous system. Another one is alcohol. And I know this is really personal for an individual, but alcohol, it temporarily numbs the nervous system. You might feel calm for a little bit, but the rebound, like, the effect actually increases anxiety and dysregulation. So if you're using alcohol as a buffer to like relax or unwind, I just want you to ask yourself, like, what are you trying to escape from feeling? Constant busyness. This is big for a lot of high achievers. I live this. Being busy is a dopamine loop. There's always another task, another goal, another thing to optimize, another thing on the to-do list. And stillness can feel really terrifying because that means that you might actually have to feel what's there. Food is something we do to numb. Comfort eating, sugar, processed food shifts our emotional state. Again, temporary relief, but it doesn't address like the underlying dysregulation. And then there's like binge watching, endless consuming, more episodes, another podcast. It's like so much input, right? That we don't give ourselves space to just integrate. Like, have you ever just let yourself listen to fun music at the gym instead of like having to self-help with the podcast or just going on a quiet walk? And again, I'm not saying we never can do these things, right? What I'm saying is getting honest about what we're using these things for. Is it to genuinely rest? Is it to numb? There's a big difference. And so starting to notice what happens in your body when you're doing these things, right? Maybe giving yourself a few minutes in your car without immediately turning on music, right? A big one that is so regulating for our nervous systems is having like a morning and evening routine. The way you start your morning and the way you end your night are really the two most powerful opportunities you have to regulate your nervous system. And a lot of people aren't doing this, right? We start our morning by immediately picking up the phone, even maybe before you or your feet hit the ground. Right? Which like literally induces cortisol, comparison, news, like the whole outside world coming in, right? Not the best for the nervous system. So your morning routine is about sending a signal to your body that you're safe, that you have time, that the day belongs to you. And for me, that means no phone first thing. Like, I have my own practices and I've shared those in other episodes, but what is that for you? I always start my morning with gratitude for five things that I'm grateful for from the day before. I check in with my body, right? Depending on my schedule, I try to meditate or move my body, right? And you have to get creative when you have different work schedules. You've got kids, you've got different things going on, but you can always figure something else out, something that works for you to help your nervous system know that you're here, you're present, you're taking care of it. And of course, you know, natural light in the morning within like 30 minutes of waking up is like scientifically proven to be really good for the nervous system. And again, that might not be an option for you, but if you can, it's really healthy for you to be able to to move the body, to be in the sun if you can. And then evening routines are they're important also, right? So just checking in with yourself and how you and what your body really wants, because it's different for everyone. And it doesn't have to be perfect, right? Just even 5 minutes in the morning and at night, just to kind of train your nervous system to know what to expect. All right, I want to talk about orienting. So this is a somatic experiencing tool to bring you back to the present. And it's really simple and it's so effective that I want to try to teach it here because it really helps you. And orienting is something your nervous system already knows how to do. So what you do is we just forget to do it. And I want you to invite you to try it right now as I walk you through it. So finding a comfortable seat, you can just let your hands rest in your lap. And what you do is you let your eyes move slowly around whatever space you're in right now. And you can stop wherever you're at. You can do this while driving as long as you're safe, right? But the point is to just scan where your eyes want to go, taking in what's around you. And if you're able to do it sitting in a chair, it's like noticing the chair beneath you, the support. If you have a window that you can look out, the nervous system really responds well to distance. So being able to see far, it kind of cues you that you're safe. And you just do this for 30 seconds to 2 minutes. You slow down, you let your eyes go where they want to go. The eyes are connected to your vagus nerve, which this just can calm and settle your nervous system. And as you do this, you can check in with your body. And just notice without trying to change anything. Notice if anything shifted. You might notice like a small exhale or a regulating breath. You might notice that you're bracing a little bit in the belly or in the jaw or in the shoulders. And again, you're not trying to fix it. You're just noticing it. You're checking with your body. And you can do this anywhere. I encourage my clients to do it when they're feeling like triggers or internal stress to allow that to be there, but then also to bring their attention outward, slow it down. Look around, get back into their bodies. You can do it before a hard conversation, in the middle of a stressful work day. When you wake up in the middle of the night, it's one of the most direct pathways to your parasympathetic nervous system that I know, and it's really powerful and really regulating. Of course, I have to talk about breath work. So you might know I'm a breath work facilitator, and this practice is so close to my heart. It's been one of the most powerful tools in my own healing. But the reason breath is so powerful is it's just something, it's your own breath. It's right there. You can do it at any time. And I like to recommend box breathing. So like if you're feeling activated, if you're feeling stressed, breathing in for four, hold for 4 seconds, exhale for four, and then hold at the bottom for four. So let's just do it together for a minute. Inhale for four. Two, three, four, hold, and exhale and hold. So I recommend, repeating this as much as you need to kind of calm the system down, maybe five rounds of that. And just notice, even by doing it once, the change in your body when you are able to slow down and use your breath, right? It's really powerful. And there's a time and a place for breath work, right? When I was going through more of my deeper healing, I was doing breath work more, and I still love and do breath work, but it's also something that you really want to listen to your body and if it has the capacity for it, right? Because sometimes it can be re-traumatizing. And so if you're like, should I do breath work? And it's feeling like a no, trust that. All right, let's talk about something that doesn't get discussed a lot in the nervous system conversation, which is what happens when the people around you are constantly dysregulated. Because you can do all the work. You can have your morning routine and your breath work and your walks outside and connect with nature. And then you can walk into a room with someone who's anxious and activated, and you feel it in your body. Human nervous systems, I mean, we're just designed to sync. It's called co-regulation. So it's why you feel calm around calm people and why you feel on edge when someone else is activated and your nervous system is constantly reading the room. Some of us grew up in homes where dysregulation was the norm, where someone's unpredictable anger or anxiety set the emotional temperature for everyone else. And our nervous systems learn to track that, to always be monitoring or adjusting. So what do you do when you can't remove yourself from these relationships? First, get regulated before you engage. Second, create little moments for your nervous system reset throughout the day, whether that's the breath work or going outside for a minute or feeling the sun, right? Just helping you regulate throughout the day. And third, like getting honest with relationships that are chronic sources of dysregulation. Occasionally activated people are normal, but if someone in your life is constantly pulling your nervous system offline, that's worth looking at. You might need more boundaries, right? This might not be a safe person to have in your life. And let's talk about capacity. So then there's our kids, right? And here's what I believe with my whole heart. Our kids are growing up in a dopamine environment that the previous generations could not have even imagined. Where it's newer for the adults, right? But this constant stimulation, instant gratification, social media, gaming, their nervous systems are being shaped by like a level of input that ours never were. And this is like makes so many of them really, really, it's hard for them to just be with themselves. Have you noticed this in your kids? Like sitting in silence would feel unbearable. Being bored is like, it's an emergency. And it's uncomfortable when they're bored and they're uncomfortable, right? Like the moment there's discomfort, they reach for a device or a distraction or for something to make them that feeling go away of just being with themselves. And I think about this constantly as a parent. I have four kids, and we're in the process of blending a family. Two of my kids live with me. My partner has three kids, and that just adds its own layer of nervous system complexity, right? That I am not going to gloss over, right? So these are different nervous systems all learning to coexist. And there's days it's a beautiful thing. And there's days when everyone's systems are dysregulated. So in all of that, the work is the same for me to stay as regulated with myself as possible, model what I'm teaching, and teach it to them too. Because I don't want my kids to be 40 learning all of this, right? Like I don't want them to figure out later in life that they've been living in fight or flight their whole lives. I want them to have that awareness now, but I still have to know that I can't carry all this for them. And this is going to be their work to learn too. But I was never taught about my nervous system when I was growing up, you know, and that's not to say I should have been taught that, right? Like I just, that wasn't something that was talked about a lot back in my day. So one of the most important things that I've started teaching my kids is the concept of capacity, which is also like the window of tolerance, right? But capacity is just a shorter way of saying it. So when I say to them, I'm at my capacity, they know what that means. It means I have nothing left to give right now. It means I need some time to myself. And like if basically like I'm going to lose it on you if you don't leave me alone, not in those words, but I just explain to them how I only have so much energy in the day. And when I'm starting to feel like I'm at my capacity, I need you to give me some space. And I think that's a really powerful thing. And also teach the kids to be able to say that I'm at my capacity right now. I need to have this conversation later. Can I have some space? Like all of that is very empowering and very supportive to the nervous system. So what I found is one of the most powerful things I can do beyond words is in a screen time is just modeling for what I do for myself, right? My kids see me. I need to meditate. I need to regulate. I'm at my capacity, right? I really try hard to not react in a way that is dysregulating to them. You know, no one's perfect, but teaching them that it's okay to be bored, right? Teaching them the language of the nervous system so that they can feel empowered. They can know what it means to feel activated or triggered or when they're in stress mode. Learning what do I need right now? This is the kind of awareness, if we teach it early, it's a huge gift that we can give them. And giving them boredom. I know that sounds hard, right? But boredom is where creativity can actually live. It's where our kids learn how to self-soothe, to imagine, to tolerate not being comfortable all the time or being entertained. It's important. And just if you're feeling, if you're like hearing this and you're feeling like, I got a lot of work to do. If I feel overwhelmed, like you're not alone. This is the perfect time if you're learning, just learning this right now. Awareness is the first step. One of my favorite ways to regulate my nervous system is just to get outside. Like I didn't connect, I feel like really connect with nature and the healing power of that for till like I started my healing journey. But it's one of the most powerful, most researched, most immediate ways to regulate your nervous system, and it's free. It really works. And a lot of times, like if I have a client in stress or something and they reach out, I tell them to go outside, feel your feet in the ground, take a breath, put your hand on your heart, feel the sun on your face, and just be. You don't need a trip to Bali to access this. You can really shift your internal state just by sitting outside in the morning quietly and looking at the sky, putting your phone away for a while. Those kinds of things send a signal to your nervous system that it's safe to slow down. Putting your bare feet in the grass, watching water move, like just letting your eyes again orient around and just slow yourself down. And I've truly made this a practice for myself to try to get outside every single day. It doesn't have to be exercise, but just allowing my body to be. And it feels so good on my nervous system. So regulation doesn't mean that you're always calm. It doesn't mean you don't feel things. It doesn't mean life stops being hard or complicated or messy. What it means is that you have a home base to return to and a settledness, right, to the movement of life that happens. When you're regulated, right, you have this wider window of tolerance. You can feel the big feelings without being swept away. You can have the hard conversation and stay present instead of shutting down. You can sit with uncertainty without needing to immediately fix it or escape it. Regulated feels spacious. Like there's room inside of you for what's actually happening. Rather than everything feeling like too much, it feels like being able to take a full deep breath. Like your chest is open instead of braced. It feels like being genuinely present with the people you love, not just physically there, but actually there, noticing the details, feeling warmth from the sun, being moved by small things. It feels like being able to hear your own internal voice again, knowing what you think, knowing what you want, being able to say no without guilt. And sleeping better. When your nervous system starts to regulate, your sleep changes. Not immediately or perfectly, but over time, you start to actually rest. You fall asleep more easily. You stay asleep. You wake up and there's a moment, maybe a moment before the day rushes in where your body feels okay. And that's not a small thing. That's your system finally believing it's safe enough to let go. So this is what is available to you, right? That you can really live in this way where you're able to be fully present and feel safe in your body at the same time. It's this groundedness that I have now that I didn't before, and I couldn't have known what it was if I hadn't done the work. And it's so beautiful. So here's what I want you to take away from today. Your nervous system isn't broken. It's doing exactly what it's learned to do to keep you safe. But you don't have to keep living in survival mode. You can learn something different. You can teach your body that it's allowed to rest, that you're not threatened right now, that you're here. It starts with those small things, like we talked about, putting your phone down a little earlier, adding 5 minutes of quiet to your morning, letting your eyes move more slowly around a room, and asking your body, am I safe right now? It's knowing when you're at your capacity and saying so. It's stepping outside and letting nature do what it is so good at doing. And if there's deeper work to do, trauma to process, patterns to unravel, please know that work is available to you. It's truly a doorway to freedom. So every time you choose presence over numbing, you're rewiring something in yourself. You're telling your nervous system, we're safe, we're here, we can slow down. And that's the work, and it's so worth it. If this episode resonated with you, especially about fawning and self-abandonment, dysregulation, I want to make sure you've listened to, again, the very first episode of my podcast on self-abandonment. That episode's entirely dedicated to self-abandonment, what it is, where it comes from, and what it takes to choose yourself again. And again, the foundation of everything I teach. So, and if you're ready to go even deeper on this work, I would love for you to screenshot this episode, share it on Instagram, tag me, and follow along. My Instagram is Shift with Beth. I always love to hear from you guys. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you could take something away today that will help you take care of your nervous system, because you deserve that. I'll see you all in the next episode.